The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. And a leper came to Jesus, begging him and kneeling, said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, make me clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news. So Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but stayed out in the country, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord. What if any of you began experiencing mental health problems today? What would you do? Probably, most of you would simply call your doctor, knowing the care you'd receive would be well worth the $30 to $50 copay required by your insurance. But what if you couldn't afford the copay or high deductible? Or did not even have insurance? For some, that is where Spiritus Christi Mental Health Center comes into play. For the last 18 years, our dedicated staff of volunteer therapists and psychiatrists have offered services to the uninsured and underinsured. We see many people with anxiety and depression in the center. Anxiety is a very common diagnosis. Most people develop symptoms before age 21. In fact, anxiety is most common in teenagers now, which I can attest to in my own family, watching my 13-year-old granddaughter struggle with this. It's normal for her to be anxious about an upcoming test. Otherwise, she wouldn't study. But a more severe anxiety is her worrying that when she is in school, something terrible will happen to her parents. Anxiety runs in families, developing from a combination of genetics and environmental factors, living in a home or being in a school environment that is persistently stressful, like living with one or both parents who are abusing alcohol or drugs, or living in a crime-ridden neighborhood. Both are high-risk factors. When the triggers are constant, the anxiety is chronic. Anxiety is linked to depression, substance abuse, ADHD, sleep issues, but anxiety can be managed with tools like psychotherapy, self-help, support groups, stress management strategies, and even medications. I want to update you on what the Mental Health Center is offering currently. We still have only three paid staff. Eileen Hurley, here 26 years, is the director of the Urban Youth Outreach Program, working with at-risk youths age 16 to 24, who are affected by violence in the city. They are coming from a dense area of poverty and crime and have experienced multiple traumas long before adolescence. Their brain development, impulse control, and ability to learn have been affected. Amy Durkee, here 13 years as Associate Administrator, writes our grants and coordinates our annual fundraiser, among many other tasks. And myself, here as Director for 12 years. Our volunteer staff consists of 20 therapists, one psychiatrist, and dozens of other advocates, like lawyers, fundraiser helpers, grant writer consultants, peer leaders, receptionists, advisory board members. Our peer support meeting, the Living Room, started by Patricia Kendall 13 years ago, is now facilitated by Paula, Steve, and Liz every Wednesday from 1 to 6. Dr. David Roska has held a weekly chiropractic group every Tuesday since June 2017, helping to improve brain-body communication to get the body working in sync. Yoga with Chris Grisanti, a certified yoga instructor, is offering her third series of sessions to deal with chronic pain. And we'll be holding our third annual panel discussion in May on a mental health topic. I'd like to share one story of someone who came to consult us. That is Hildy. She was an employed professional for many years. She enjoyed her independence and her role as caretaker in her family and community. Then in her early 50s, the symptoms of her fibromyalgia, lupus, and rheumatoid arthritis became so debilitating that she was unable to work anymore. It was hard enough to adjust to losing her professional identity, but then things got worse. Her partner was unable to cope with the changes and started abusing her, both verbally and physically. Hildy realized she had to leave. With no money or job, she sought refuge miles away here in Rochester. When she arrived, her female friend took her in temporarily, but was unable to give her long-term shelter without jeopardizing her own housing. Unsure of what to do, her friend brought her here one wintry day. When she arrived, Hildy was crying and clearly in much physical pain. But there was also a quiet strength about her. She knew what she needed to do: get safe housing, get an appointment with a rheumatologist, and temporary assistance. Fortunately, we were able to link her with one of our counselors right away to start working on these case management issues. The past 8 months have been hard, dealing with physical pain, homelessness, and the trauma of abuse, while also navigating the various systems required to secure financial assistance and housing was a daunting task. While Hildy has worked diligently on her own behalf, she has benefited from the support, expertise, and advocacy we have been able to provide. We are happy to report she is now connected to resources and has moved into her own apartment on September 1st. The gospel today talks about the leper who came to Jesus begging, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Spiritus Christi chooses, just like Jesus did, to walk with those in need, like those who consult the mental health center. To end, the most important message to you, the Spiritus community, is we simply could not do what we do without your financial support. If not for you, 314 people would not have received any help this year. 314 people. Before I introduce Sandra, I want to thank Dr. Gloria Bashevitz, a member of our Spirit Singers who is away for the weekend and not here. She's retiring. She's our volunteer psychiatrist and retiring from our center at the end of December. She has been a faithful clinician, serving the medication needs of the people we have treated every other Thursday afternoon for the last 18 years. She volunteered for 18 years in the center. Thank you, Dr. Gloria Bashevitz. And now I introduce Sandra Hope, a licensed mental health counselor who has volunteered with us for the last 9 years.
Good morning. I don't attend this church, but occasionally I do because I really like it. So why don't I come here more often? Well, that's a deeper question. But one of the things that I tell people about this church is that you don't just say, let's minister to somebody, but you guys do it. And I'm so impressed with that, what you guys are doing. So thank you. I'm gonna make this. While I was running recently in the rain, I became aware of my need and desire for connection. I was feeling lonely, and I thought, who can I connect with? From my own years in my own therapy, I realized that what I needed to do was to connect with myself. So I put my hand on my chest, and I said, I am right here, and I love you. It was as if not only was I saying that to myself, but God was saying that to me as well. And I felt God's presence all around me. I realized that God was in the songs of the birds, in the beauty of the sky, in the warmth of the rain, and in me. I was not alone. This morning I want to share with you briefly why we need connection, where we seek connection, and how we find connection. So why do we need connection? God models for us a loving connection through the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are created in the image of God, so we are created for connection. God reveals to us the importance of our relationship with God, but also our relationship with ourselves and with others. We were not meant to do this life alone. My spiritual director, Craig Bullock, writes, "You and I need human support. We need God and we need each other." So where do we seek connection? Our society tends to encourage us to seek it outside of ourselves. And although we need connection, we tend to try to avoid it by using what I call our drugs of choice. Eating, not eating, working, exercising, sex, busyness, all of which can take us away from ourselves, our thoughts, and our feelings. And this makes it difficult to connect to anyone else. So what we need to do is to connect to ourselves first. Spiritus Christi Mental Health Center is all about connection, helping people learn how to connect to themselves. The essence of counseling is not in the interventions or the wise words that you find the place of healing, but instead in the loving connection between the counselor and the client. Eckhart Tolle writes, "Every encounter that we have with another human being offers a profound opportunity for connection and transformation." So how do we find a loving connection between ourselves, others, and God? We connect through listening and sharing. Today, I have a handout for you that you can have as you leave that will have this portion of my talk on it. A good place to start listening to yourself is first to just take a few slow, deep breaths. And pay attention to yourself. Find a place of stillness inside of you and create a loving, judgment-free zone. Focus with all of your senses. Pay attention to the sensations in your body. And use those sensations to identify what you're feeling. Listen to the thoughts that come up with those feelings and extend love to yourself. So once you've seen and connected with yourself in this way, you're better able to listen to, see, and connect with others and God in a similar way. And it's from this place of knowing that we know and we can be known. When we recognize ourselves in others, we feel a connection. I want to say that again. When we recognize ourselves in others, that's when we feel a connection. And we begin to experience a feeling of understanding and being understood. In this process, it's important to have emotional boundaries. It's not about all or nothing. We begin to share a little bit at a time, and you assess whether a person is trustworthy or safe, and whether they will honor what you share in your openness. And as we experience that place of safety, we can choose to share more of our thoughts and feelings. When we choose to become vulnerable, that's when we find connection. We were created for connection, to connect with yourself and others and God. Start with the message, "I am right here," and show up with love.